All right, I'm going to talk about the physical properties and substrate temperature for these alternative nursery containers. You can see the number of universities that are involved with this and the actual individuals. I won't read everyone's name. I do want to acknowledge my postdoc, Susmitha. She was going to make this presentation, but for various reasons, it's me up here instead of her. But she does all the work. I just want to make sure everybody realizes. So everything you're getting here today is part of the SCRI project that was funded in 2011. That's the title of that particular project. You just heard some of the greenhouse portion of that. The next few presentations are going to be on the nursery end of these alternative containers. As you might imagine from the list of containers that you just saw, that there is a wider variety of containers available for the greenhouse compared to the nursery. So you're going to see a few less containers than you saw in the first group. But the data that has come out with the alternative containers from the greenhouse seems to indicate that water use certainly is one of the factors that differ between these different materials. So I'm going to tackle how water use may be impacted by temperature, and that'll be followed up by Dr. Fernandez talking about the actual water use. I've broken this up into three sections. We're going to talk about a controlled environment study that we did to look at how much water comes through the container wall. Then we had a laboratory experiment that Susmitha did for temperature of the actual container. And then we've done a field study at all of the locations that were listed up here. The container types I'll go through pretty quickly. Black plastic is the standard. We had a wood pulp type container. We used the keratin chicken product. The fabric root pouch and core, and I won't spend much more time on these. I think many of these are recognizable, but again, just take a look at the color. That'll come back here in a second when we talk about other things. This is a table. I don't know if Tom will show the same table or not. Vicky put this one together. But it is a list of where we got the containers, and from my point of view at this point, just notice that all the containers or approximate a number one container, but they are a little different in volume. You just can't get it all standardized. We all used the same substrate from the same producer. It was 85% pine bark, 15% peat. And for the 2 years that we're going to talk about now, in 2012 we used boxwood, green velvet. And in 2013, it was Caryopteris dark night. So let's start with the controlled environment. This is meant to try to tease out how much water loss is coming through the container sidewalls. We took advantage of these transpiration chambers that we had built. You can see on the chamber here on the left, and on the right here is one of actually Amy's studies looking at transpiration in those chambers. So what we were looking for is getting how much water was coming out through the sidewalls at a particular VPD air. And we can maintain this VPD air from this nice machine that goes ahead and controls the amount of water and temperature that's in the air that's circulated through the chambers. So it's very nice. And so we selected a moderate VPD of 2.6 kilopascals. Then we sealed up the containers after they were wetted, allowed to drain. They equilibrated for 30 minutes. And so sealed at the top, maybe not perfectly, but sealed as well. And then she recorded the weight every hour for 8 hours. This is the data that was collected. On the left-hand side is the list of the containers. Across the top is the top and sidewall without the seal of plastic, and then the sidewall is sealed. It's pretty much as you might expect. Those that have the hard sidewall, the keratin and plastic, they're not giving up that much water. It's all coming from the surface. Whatever has come out through the sidewall is probably a bit of experimental error. We compare that then to the wood pulp and core, which have about the same amount of sidewall and evapotranspiration, and then the root pouch with the most. We think that this is significant to what you're going to see with the temperature data that follows. In the lab study, she wanted to know what the physical properties of the sidewall, how that contributed to the heat transfer. So the same thing, we wetted the containers, allowed them to equilibrate at room temperature for 30 minutes. Then to heat the sidewall, she used 100-watt incandescent bulbs and a tandem fixture about 15 centimeters away and allowed it to heat for 90 minutes. At that point, then, she used a pyranometer to see how much energy was being reflected off the container. Then, after turning the lights out, she used an infrared thermometer and did three measurements along the sidewall to test for temperature, and then did a substrate temperature in two locations with a digital thermometer. So the data we get from here then, same setup, the containers on the left-hand side, the flux density is a measure of the energy that's coming off the containers. And you can see that this is a reflection of the color of the container. The black containers then are giving off less energy, while those lighter containers then are giving off more. If we look then how that translates into the wall temperature, it all follows except for the keratin. I'm not exactly sure what's happening in the keratin, but it's transferring and absorbing a lot of heat from the energy that it sees. And again, the temperature is going to be more than a function of that evaporation than it is of the absorbance, and that's what we're seeing here. So if we look at substrate temperature then, we have substrate temperatures that are highest in the black plastic and keratin. It's moderate for the wood pulp, and then it is lowest for the root pouch and the core. And I guess this follows what she had found for sidewall evaporation. So even though we have a function here of absorb radiation, heat conduction, and evapotranspiration, obviously absorbing heat is important for determining the temperature of the substrate, but we also think that this evapotranspiration is what's going to drive the substrate temperature. So now we did the field study. We had 2 years of the field study. The first was with boxwood, and we used these four containers in 2012, and this was the standard setup that we had at all locations. In 2013, we used three containers. We used the black plastic wood pulp and added a core, and then the plant material was the Caryopsis. Irrigation was by daily water replacement, and I'll leave Tom talk about that, but we all use that as our irrigation method. And we measured temperatures either with a thermocouple or thermistors. We did it about 2.5 centimeters below the substrate and on a south-facing container. So if you look at the data then for 2012, we collected data at all locations. The locations are at the bottom of the graph, and what we're reporting here is the average seasonal substrate temperature. So these are averages. And what you see from the data is, again, what you might expect. Michigan is cooler than the other southern locations. And that what we see here is what we also saw in the laboratory, and that you get a reduction in temperature from the plastic rigid materials down to the those that are evaporating more water from the container. For example, you have here from Kentucky, you have a single day in full sun, non-rain, and what you get here is that substrate tends to lag behind air temperature initially. So air temperature, there is the solid line in black. What you have then is the rigid materials then heating up and being above air temperature for the afternoon. You get the wood pulp being intermediate again, and then also the core and the root pouch being quite a bit cooler. But you can see they never reach air temperature. So we've got a significant amount of evaporation or evaporative cooling going on with those containers. This is the substrate temperature for 2012. This is just a 6-hour measurement. The top panel there is 6 a.m. to noon. The bottom panel is noon to 6 p.m. Where this is occurring. And what you can see is that there's just a little bit less difference in Kentucky and Michigan for the wood pulp. And so if you just look at the A's and B's here, you can see that there's A's and B's for wood pulp for Kentucky and Michigan, but not for Mississippi and Texas. And again, you'll see why that becomes significant here in the last slide. So what I asked Susmita to do is to just pick a critical root temperature where we might see damage. We can argue whether 37.8 is enough, but she found that in the literature. Dr. Ingram wanted me to use 40, but whatever we use, it's all relative, right? And so if you do that and mine the data to find out when we had 3 hours of consecutive temperatures that might damage the root system, in plastic, that's where the temperature is highest, and you can see that you get more days as the temperature, as you move further south. Also significant here is that Michigan does not see any of those temperatures, so much more moderate. And then the other thing that you get from this, the data that we collected, is that for the wood pulp, as you saw in the previous slide, down in Texas and Mississippi, it heats up a little more and does show some days above the critical temperature. So the take home here is that we think that if you're looking at these modified containers, that the evaporation or evapotranspiration contribution from the sidewall is significant when it comes to temperature. And then it also impacts the days that you have that a critical root temperature could occur where you might see root damage. And then also because temperature can be a driving force here, you're going to see an impact on daily water use. And so this segues into then Dr. Fernandez's talk. And again, I'd like to thank the people that actually do the work.
Did those higher or lower temperatures have an impact on plant growth? You didn't show any data for that, but I'm assuming you measured plant growth, dry weight, things like that. So did you see a difference?
Yeah. Why don't we just wait till the next part of the show?
Okay.
But yes, that's why I didn't present I would have presented the growth data, but because we're integrating this and it's all...
Okay.
So it seems to fit better with the water use than the temperature. Because we do think it's the water use that impacts any of the plant growth the differences we might see.
Okay.